Coach Jimbo Fisher. Coach, we'll ask you to start with a brief opening statement, and then we'll go for a question and answer. Just a reminder, if you'll raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you.
Howdy.
So we got to get everybody to understand this, this A&M culture. When I say howdy, everybody's got to say howdy back. Daggum. I got to get all this down. No. It's great to be here. Excited to be here. Great to be back in the SEC. As you know, I cut my teeth in the SEC for 13 years, many years ago. And now I'm sounding like I say many years ago. I guess I'm getting old. Start to see that. But excited to be at A&M. I think, like I say, it's a very unique place. I think it's an outstanding place. And we've been there in a short period of time, but we've got hopefully got a lot done and started the culture in which we wanted to implement. And you've talked to some of our players already, and hopefully you've been able to see that. But we got some work to do in front of us. As I say, we got an extremely competitive league, as I know. Like I said, I grew up in it, and non-conference schedule is very tough. But that's why you play in the SEC, to be able to do that and play against those games and those challenges. So, but looking forward to it, and I think we have a tremendous potential, and just anxious to watch this team grow and how quickly it can develop our culture in which we want to play with. Questions?
We'll go back here, back left.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Two questions for you. Is there any difference in football schematically? Is there any difference you've seen in football in the ACC and football in the SEC?
No, I mean, I don't. I think the ACC, I think the quality of play has risen because of the SEC. And we said that over there. When we were at Florida State in 2013, we were the first, I think, was it seven in a row that the SEC had won national championships, and we were able to break that string and, you know, win a national championship. But it brought everybody's level of play up around. You either had to – they were going to run over you, or you had to go join them. And I think we started doing it, and then Clemson started doing it, and then other – you know, Miami's coming on, NC State. So, I mean, I think that league has gotten so much better, and I think it's very competitive and extremely competitive. But I think it was because of the SEC, and I think the commitment, how – I can say – it just does mean more. I think the people here in this league, it means more, and it's a very physical brand of football.
Yeah, my second question, Coach, is sometimes coaches they'll tell you they do a lot of reflecting in the off season and they grow and they change. I'm curious if you did any of that. I know it was a busy off season for you, and did you say, well, I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to coach this way differently, I'm going to do this differently, I'm going to put this guy here? Was there anything you said when you came back or to Texas A&M, came to Texas A&M, where you said, I'm going to do this differently?
Well, you're right. I didn't have much time to reflect because we were trying to start a new program, so you didn't have much time. But, no, you try to always evaluate. I self-evaluate myself. People say, well, do you self-scout? Coaches, at least I do. I self-evaluate myself. More than y'all scrutinize everything, well, times that by 10 is why I look at myself. And I think we always try to look at areas we can get better. But, and I mean, you're just always trying to grow, I think, in every way, shape, and form in player relationship. I think, you know, keeping to understand kids today, I think, because at the end of the day, if they don't trust you, they're not going to play for you, and vice versa. You don't trust them, you're not going to play them. So I think, you know, understanding that, breaking the barriers and understanding each other and just trying to evaluate. But at the end of the day, not a lot, because I think we've had great success, but there's a lot of little things maybe in how we did spring practice, how we did the off season, how we're doing our summer conditioning. I think we revamped that. We've changed some philosophical things in our summer conditioning program and our weightlifting and things in that regard that we were going to probably do anyway. But for the most part, it's very similar, but just some small tweaks and turns. Great question.
Down in front.
Jimbo, there's been a lot of attention paid to the numbers in the contract. How do you deal with that, you know, going through and trying to play and practice every day?
Well, I kind of like it. No, you don't. It's never about the money. I mean, it never is. And from what I hear, the new contract Paul signed, I'm maybe the second highest paid in this league. I think Feinbaum just got him a new deal, didn't he? I know Paul. See, y'all, the media world just broke the coaches. Y'all just passed us coaches up from what I'm hearing. That's the rumors I'm hearing. So, but no, it is. You don't worry about that. I mean, that once that's there, that's done away with. And like I said, when I coached this game, when I first started coaching it back when I was at Stanford University and I was making less than $15,000 as the offensive coordinator, I didn't do it for the money then. You don't do it for the money now. I mean, those contracts are great and all that works out, but at the end of the day, it's about what you do, and you're putting your stamp and your name on something. And as long as I'm putting my name on something, no matter what I'm getting paid or what goes on, we're going to try to be the best we can be.
We'll go to the camera platform on the left side.
Jimbo, what do you think of this event and specifically of having it in Atlanta?
Well, I can't say that because I wasn't in Birmingham. You're asking the wrong guy, I guess. But, I mean, being anytime you're in Atlanta, I mean, being right here with the College Football Hall of Fame and of course, the Peach Bowl and or, you know, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and I'm still going back to old times. But, I mean, this is a great city, and you have the SEC championship here, and what this city means to the SEC is tremendous, along with Birmingham. But, you know, it's a great venue we have here. I like being here.
Okay, down in front on the right.
Hey, Jimbo.
What was your reaction to Jameis Winston's suspension? And given the totality of what he's been accused of back from Florida State until now, would you still want him as your starting quarterback?
I don't know the circumstance with Jameis. I mean, I love Jameis, and hopefully he'll be able to move on. And obviously, it's something he will be able to move on from. And yes, I love, and I still think he's a tremendous young man. I really do. And unfortunately, he made some bad decisions this past season, or whenever he did it for. I don't know exactly when that was, but I love him. And he, if you're ever around him, you understand what I mean. He's not a better team player than a guy who works as much as anywhere. But you know, he made a mistake, and obviously, he'll pay the consequences for that, and then we'll move on.
We'll go over here on the end, front left.
What do you think this program's ceiling can be, and what's a realistic timetable for getting it there?
Well, that's up to everybody involved on the timetable. I mean, when the players and the coaches and everything falls into place, and you know, they've got to have a break or two. But if I didn't think we could win national championships, I wouldn't have came. I mean, had a great job where I was at, and at Florida State, I had no plans on leaving. And then, you know, when they always say that, you get the best opportunities when you're not looking for them. And you start looking at the resources and the commitment the school makes. And I'm not talking about just athletically and facility-wise. I'm talking about it's an unbelievable school. The culture of that university is unbelievable. There's an academic tradition there that's second to none. The Aggie Network, when the air goes out of the ball, helping these kids launch their careers, and they talk about giving back, that Aggie Network and the job market and that family is second to none. And the resources you have in that regard to help these kids grow for a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision. And, you know, it's tremendous. And then when you put the great recruiting base of the state of Texas there and then be able to, as I think, we can brand Texas A&M nationally, because when you get there, you see the commitment to excellence from the facilities to the school to the academics to afterwards. And like I say, we're getting a lot of people there from different areas that had never been there, and the first response they get is, wow. I mean, I had no idea, which I didn't have any idea totally. Until I grasped it and got there. And I think it can touch so many. Not many universities can touch you personally, academically, athletically, and then professionally once you leave the game. I'm not talking about pro ball. I'm talking about whatever major you're in. I don't know how many schools can do it at the level Texas A&M can do it at. And it's a very unique place.
We'll go over here to the second row on the end.
Coach, two freshmen that you added, Tank Jenkins and James Foster. Can you talk about what you liked about them and what you hope James learns from the quarterback room that you have?
Well, I think James, the thing that impressed me is the kind of competitor. Of course, he has great arm talent and great ability. You can see it on film. But he took a school, if I'm not mistaken, when he was a sophomore, they had no wins. Then gradually, his last year, they had 10 or 11 wins. And taking a program and turning around and not, you know, going somewhere that was already established and becoming part of that, there's something to say for that. He's a winner. And his work ethic and his demeanor. Of course, he has great arm talent, and we can see that in the way he plays. And Tank, you're seeing a guy who's physical, can bend, has power, can move, can displace guys. And as you see in college football now, we used to always talk about the tackles. Everybody had great tackles, which you got to have. But now the importance, you're seeing guards and centers go in the first round now because of how big defensive tackles are and the way to set a pocket or be able to move. And Tank's one of the few big guys that can roll his hips at that size and be able to not just block guys, but displace guys. And I think both of them have a very high ceiling.
I'll go right here on the front left.
Talk about being back. And you got Will at South Carolina, your old friend. What was that conversation like when you guys talked about the fact that, hey, I'm back?
Oh, no. But you understand, we're at Florida State. So it doesn't get any more intense than it was at that time. So it's just funny. But you know this, again, it's another great coach. But you know, coming to this league, all coaches are great. But he's a great coach, great friend, great guy. And it'll be an unbelievable competitive game because he is hard to go against now. I mean, he really is.
We'll go back here on the right with the camera position.
Jimbo, two questions. Those of us from Baton Rouge remember you fondly, you know, with what you did with the Tigers. But kind of piggybacking on that, to face off against Nick now, be on different sides of the sidelines, are you excited about that opportunity?
Yeah, you are. I mean, if you ever come to our practices when we were there? We were in Baton Rouge. We used to go at it hard anyway. But, no, it is. I mean, and it's, like I say, he's doing it the best of anybody, and for a long time, maybe the best ever. You don't know. I mean, guy is tremendously successful, and if you're a competitor, you want to go against the best, and you're getting the SEC and go against Nick, you're going to find out, and they're going to challenge you in every phase of your program. They're going to challenge you because they're going to have their I's dotted and T's crossed, and it's going to make us all better coaches and better people around, and it's going to be tremendously tough, that's for sure.
And just secondly, your offense, how much do you feel you need to revamp it to be competitive, to sustain drives against teams. You've seen their defense in the past, you know, get worn out because they've been off the field too quick on offense.
Well, I think we have to. I mean, Arthur, we have to be physical. You got to be able to run the football. And if you go back to my history, I believe in balance. Even when I was at LSU back in the days when we had Tofield and Dominic Davis and Joe Addai, we could throw it with Rohan and Josh and Jamarcus and Matt Flynn and Matt Mock. We could throw it with those guys, but we could run it too. And when I was at Florida State with Dalvin Cook and you know, Devontae Freeman right here in Atlanta, and of course Cam Akers had 1,000 and Chris Thompson, we ran it, but we could throw it there too. So I think the balance in this league, but you have to establish the running game. And I think you have to be able to you got to be able to run the football on offense, and it could be from spread. You can be in four wides and run it. You can be in two tights and run it. You can be in a running, but you got to be able to run the football and establish the line of scrimmage where guys can't tee off all day. You can't play with short corners all day. The defensive ends, when you see all short corners, and what I mean by that, no tight ends or no edges on tackles. When you're a defensive end, you can lay yours back. That's really tough, and you got to be able to stop the run. But then you got to be able to create the big plays in the passing game or the running game and stop them on defense. So I mean. But you've got to be able to take pressure off your defense by how you play offense. And I think when you practice that way, it also helps them on defense because they see it every day. So I think the physicality of your team is going to be critical, and we have to become physical.
We'll go standing back left.
Jim, I wonder if you could take us through your defense, your thoughts on that unit coming out of spring, and just the overall talent of that group.
Well, I was very happy. I think up front with our guys, you say Kiki and Mack, and of course we had some depth there at that position with Rogers coming in. Now, Peavy was out, but he's a very talented guy in that group. Moten is in that group. And then Diallo is a junior college guy, and Brown, and I mean, he's an end and a big guy too. I mean, and then Durham and Clemens, those guys up front, I think we have a chance. I mean, I really do. I think there's a good group there that can play the run, that can create different pass, rush groups that can rush the passer. And what we have, linebacker, Dodson and Locke, I was very pleased with inside. I think are two really good players. Wish we need more depth in that regard. And the outside is those nickel Sam backers and those things with Buddy and Kiki, I think can play. I think some of our young guys, because sometimes that may be a nickel situation too. And secondary, we have athletic guys. We gave up some big plays. I know A&M gave up a lot of big plays last year, but you know, you had a lot of young guys you were playing. Renfro, we missed spring, but hopefully he's a great athlete. Oliver back there, Chapman will get back. Wilson, Tucker, all those guys. And then the young guys that we bring in, Leon O'Neal and some of Moore and some of those guys. But there's a Fuller, some of those guys in the secondary. I'm very pleased. They just started grasping what Mike – it was totally a different concept. I mean, not that the other concept was wrong, because Chief has been as successful in this league as anybody. I mean, he's had great defense. He's a great defensive coordinator at Arkansas now that will do a great job. But it's just philosophically, we more zones, more fire zones, but then we'd play man. I think the diversity was a lot greater, and I thought the second half of spring they started picking it up and weren't just running around, knew, understood what they were trying to do. And until you understand totally what you do, it's hard to evaluate a guy. You know what I'm saying? It's just hard. But I thought the second half of spring, again, like I've said, I thought they did a nice job.
We'll go back here on back row.
Hi, Coach. Tell me about your transition into College Station, and not just with the school, but with new players who may be used to Kevin Sumlin's style of coaching.
Well, I think Kevin did a great job. Kevin was very successful. He won a lot of games, and he'll do a great job at Arizona. But I think the players have been very receptive. I think they worked very hard. I said if of all the things I've been the most pleased with is the attitude of our players. They have been very open-minded, very receptive, and it's every time you've said go, they've stepped on the gas and went. There hasn't been any fighting. There hasn't been any, you know, say, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And I think this how we do things on them, you know, they have to learn it in time, and we have to do a great job as coaches teaching them to get them to understand it. But it's been actually been a very smooth transition.
We'll go standing right in the middle on the camera platform.
I can't believe it's taken 14 minutes to bring up the quarterbacks, but here we go between.
I can save it. I don't know the answer. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I guess then the question is, Coach, going into fall camp, when would you like to make a decision, and what are you hoping to see from Starkle and Mond, you know, competition-wise between the two?
You know, timeline. Everybody says when you want a timeline. I can't dictate that. It's when the timeline – it's when it happens. It happens when it happens, whoever takes over. And if there's two guys that need to play, then two guys will play. If one guy needs to play, one guy will play. I don't – you can't put a timeline on it. There will be opportunities for them to show themselves, and everything from, you know, not just scrimmages, but practices and everything will be evaluated because we practice very situationally. But, you know, the big thing I want to see is I want to see them be able to – that the team responds. You know, everybody talks about quarterback and the physical features you have, which I talked about in the last thing, but – the other thing is their presence. When they walk in a room, I've never been around a great one or a successful one. And everybody said, well, this one talks a lot. That one doesn't talk a lot. Well, that can come by personality. When they walk in the room, you feel them. Those guys that walk in the room, you know they're there, you feel them. The guys respond to them. They interact with them. They know they're in the room, and somebody in charge of somebody that will lead me down the field is in the room. And presence is as important as any quality you can have as a quarterback. And you either get it or you don't. And that comes from respect, I think, by how you go about your business, the way you carry yourself, the way you think, the culture of your organization, and the culture of yourself, of how you want to be perceived, I think is very important. But I think both of them have all the physical skills. They're a little different in certain ways. Nick's been more of a pocket guy in his past, but can run. Kellen's run around more, but can throw in the pocket. I was very pleased with both of them's progress in those areas. So, and there hasn't been a large enough sample size because they're just now starting to grasp the little nuances about what you want to do. But the big thing about it, can they lead you down the field? Say, well, that guy throws it, that guy runs. Well, here's what I want to know. When they come in the game and they're leading that unit, do we get down the field and score points? Do we manage the game in certain situations? Do we understand when to take chances, when not to take chances, how to protect the ball? But at the same time, you say, well, hey, well, I don't want him to throw interceptions. Well, do you want him to make some plays? Well, we can throw it away all day. We can throw certain things. You don't get an interception, but is he creating any plays? There's that fine line of, you know, can he be smart? Can he be aggressively intelligent? You know, there's a lot of things, and I'm really anxious to see the strides they've taken this summer.
Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, to your right here in the middle.
Oh, my bad.
A lot of LSU fans have speculated and talked about over the years, you know, why you and them didn't come together as far as you becoming their head coach. Is there anything, any light to shed on that a couple years later? And what made A&M and Scott Woodard, you know, get you to go there?
No, I mean, I was very happy at Florida State. I mean, my two boys are born in Baton Rouge. I love Baton Rouge. My two kids, where they were born. They're Louisianans. So there was no reason. I've always had great affiliation for that place and great love for that place. It unfortunately just didn't work out at the time. I don't want to go into all the detail, I mean, of anything else. But we're where we are right now, and they've got a great coach, and I'm in a great situation, and we'll move on. But I always had great appreciation for those fans and those people there treated me unbelievably well.
We'll go back here on the left, standing.
You talked about Elko a little bit. Why was he the guy? Because if you talk about his reputation, it's incredibly tough. I mean, that's his reputation precedes him. Why was he the guy for you?
Well, I always said, who you want to hire? Well, who's your biggest pain in the butt when you prepare against him? Go hire him. So one, he'll be on your team, and two, you don't have to prepare against him. So you go hire him. But I just think the diversity in which he comes with, he philosophically we're very similar, I think, and how we want to play defense, and that we got to be able to stop the run, be physical up front, coach tough, but be very multidimensional in how you do things so you can create more problems for the quarterback today. And you know, people say, do you rush the pass? Sometimes you can get sacks by creating confusion in the secondary and be able to create turnovers and big plays. And I think Mike does everything you have to do in today's game, and he's a great guy.
Go right here in the middle on the left side.
Week two, you've got a team you're very familiar with in Clemson. Do you look at that as a possible measuring stick, and how can that game help you when it comes conference time?
Well, you're going to find out where you're at, that's for sure, because they're either one or two in every poll in this country. So you're going to find out quickly, you know, and I think it does get your kids' attention. I mean, it definitely is a measuring stick, and there's no doubt. But, you know, hopefully when you get good in your program, you don't measure yourself against other people. I want us to understand how you got to measure yourself against yourself and the way you work and the way you do things. I mean, your opponents become faceless because tell me who in this league isn't tough. Name me one. I mean, it's the way it is. You have to understand who you are and what you want and have the vision of who you can, of picturing yourself as a champion, picturing yourself, not saying it because the media wants to hear it. Do you really believe it? Because till you believe it and to see it, it doesn't matter. You can play Clemson's, Alabama's, whoever you play. You got to measure yourself by your own measuring stick. And I hopefully that we can get to that very quickly. And I hope we're there now. Maybe we are. I don't know. I'm not saying we aren't. I'm not saying we are. We'll find out. But it's more, if you measure yourself against other people, the great teams I've ever been around measure themselves against themselves. And then they challenge themselves with the opponent to the level in which you had to play with.
We've got time for one more right here on the left side on the end.
Coach, talking about recruiting the state of Texas, how important is it for you to keep those kids in the state where you're coaching at? And have you ran into any difficulties recruiting at Texas that maybe you didn't run into at Florida State?
No, I mean, I think, you're in that state has as many players as any state in the United States. There's 28 million people in the state of Texas, and football is as important as anything there is. I mean, they love it, they live it, they eat it, they breathe it, and you have to have your home base of players. You have to, and we have to keep. Are you going to get them all? No, but we got to try to get them all, and we got to get a large majority of them and have a high success rate. And then we have to be able to go out and brand nationally to be able to pick those one, three, or five players a year that across the country that can change the game and be able to do it. But the football and the high school coaches in the state of Texas are as good as anywhere in the country. And that doesn't, I'm not taking away from any other state, but it is a phenomenal state. And it's important there. They love it. And we want to keep every one of them there. And, you know, it's easy to ride down the road and let your parents watch you play from there and then be able to brand yourself out nationally. And we have to establish those ties. Right now, our coach is doing a good job, and we've got to continue to grow that.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you all very much.